From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, May 22nd. I'm Abby Larigo. As crews begin to demolish hundreds of buildings damaged by the May 2025 tornado, St. Louis officials are urging people living near demolition zones to keep their health in mind.
Dust itself can be a health concern, regardless of what the chemical composition is.
St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Fenton reports on the potential danger of construction-related dust and what people can do to keep themselves safe, coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis residents could see their water rates go up by almost 90% under legislation introduced yesterday at the Board of Aldermen. STLPR's Rachel Lippman has details.
The rate hikes are phased in over 6 years. The first 18% increase would take effect July 1st. An average customer would pay about $29 more per month by 2032. The water department has reached a point where it will not be able to pay its bills without more money. Mayor Kara Spencer says a lot of work went into making sure the increase meets the department's needs.
And we have very much better prepared for what the long-term investment looks like, and this is getting us closer to that mark.
The bill creates a new rate for lower-income customers and phases out subsidies for the zoo, art museum, and hospitals. It also allows the city to negotiate higher rates with new large customers like data centers. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The number of people experiencing chronic homelessness in St. Louis went up by 25% from 2020 to 2025. That's according to Peter and Paul Community Services, which operates a shelter in the city. Officials working to address homelessness across the region held their first State of Homelessness event yesterday. City Department of Human Services Director Adam Pearson says the city needs more resources to curb the growing trend.
I think we start with acknowledging that we have a crisis and that the resources that the city government has to address the crisis are not sufficient.
Pearson says the city's Code Blue program saved lives when it opened up hundreds of extra shelter beds during freezing temperatures this winter. He says the department has secured $2 million in funding to bring it back. A new nonprofit in St. Charles is hoping to use the city council's permanent ban on large-scale data center developments passed this week to jumpstart government transparency efforts. STLPR's Katie Gravich has more.
Scott Stratton Henderson started a petition last year that helped stop Project Cumulus, a proposed large-scale AI data center in St. Charles. He says he got involved because he was concerned about the secrecy around the project and the potential environmental risks. Now he started a nonprofit called Stewards of St. Charles. Stratton Henderson says the organization aims to promote transparency and integrity in the city.
The data center is definitely one of the main reasons why Stewards of St. Charles was founded. We want to protect the character and identity of St. Charles.
Stratton Henderson was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. He says he hopes to work with the mayor and members of city council to pass legislation related to transparency. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tuition for four major universities in Missouri will go up this fall. The Board of Curators has unanimously approved a 4% tuition increase for undergraduates on all University of Missouri campuses. Undergrads attending University of Missouri-St. Louis will pay $315 more per semester. Students at the system's flagship campus, Mizzou, will pay about $286 more, as will students at the Missouri University of Science and Technology. UM finance leaders say tuition across its campuses hasn't kept up with inflation and that the increase is in line with other Missouri colleges and universities. UM finance leaders say states like Kansas, Kentucky, and Nebraska also provide more funding to their universities than Missouri does. The state of Missouri will no longer be able to send kids free books through Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. As St. Louis Public Radio's Rebecca Thiel reports, the program, set up by the iconic country artist and literacy advocate, gives books to children from birth to age 5.
Missouri lawmakers cut the Imagination Library's budget for the upcoming fiscal year by more than half, from about $6 million to $2 million. The State Department of Elementary and Secondary Education says it won't have the money to enroll new children in the program after next month. The department says kids who are enrolled now will continue to receive books as funding allows. Education Department officials say they could potentially partner with local programs or private donors to revive the Imagination Library. Missouri began participating in the program in 2023 and was the first state to fully fund it. Since it started, the Education Department says the state has donated more than 4.3 million books. As of March, more than 169,000 kids in Missouri were signed up to receive them. I'm Rebecca Thiel, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis, St. Charles, and Jackson counties had the highest number of kids enrolled in the state. Today marks 15 years since the deadliest tornado of modern history struck Joplin, Missouri. On May 22, 2011, an EF5 tornado went right through the middle of Joplin, killing 158 people in its path. People living in North St. Louis are excited to see crews begin to demolish buildings damaged or destroyed by the May 2025 tornado. Hundreds of houses are slated to be knocked down in the coming months. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, knocking down buildings can kick dust and debris into the air, and experts say residents near demolition zones should take precautions to keep their hearts and lungs safe.
On Enright Avenue in the Academy neighborhood, a storm-damaged brick house is finally coming down. The demolition's part of a city program using state recovery funds to tear down vacant or condemned houses damaged by last year's storm. The operator of the mac and cheese-colored excavator taps a century-old chimney, and bricks crumble like a sandcastle. As the debris falls to the ground, clouds of brown-gray dust rise up into the air. All the while, another worker with a large hose missed the property beneath the excavator. Construction worker Christy Jenkins watches from a safe distance.
And you can see, like, as the water hits it, you can see almost the dust had completely come to the bottom.
Containing this dust is important. The city says every demolition will use continuous water suppression to contain what those in the business call fugitive dust. That's because all that flying dust can become a health hazard, particularly when buildings are as old as the ones on Enright Avenue. But until some recent rainfall, conditions have been dry, and even with the hose, the dust still billows through the air like smoke.
Yeah, there's truly no way to prevent any dust. But if he wasn't spraying, you probably wouldn't even be able to see the machine with all the dust.
To be clear, residents, including next-door neighbor Harry L. Johnson, are happy the demolitions are starting. It took months to get them underway, and even before the tornado, the abandoned house next door was a nuisance.
God went on ahead and said, I'll help you, and he just knocked it on down for us, and he kept going on, but I was blessed. We were blessed. We only lost 3 windows.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer has announced 120 homes will come down in the next few months with the help of those state recovery dollars. Other government agencies and private property owners are also demolishing buildings and removing debris from the tornado zone. City officials estimate up to 1,600 buildings will need to come down. And with that much work ahead, residents, including Johnson, are in for a dusty summer.
I don't get out as much, but when I do go, dust is everywhere.
Dust itself can be a health concern, regardless of what the chemical composition is.
Jay Turner is an engineering professor at Washington University studying how much airborne dust will linger in the region's tornado-affected neighborhoods. He says for most, it will likely be a nuisance.
For people who are predisposed, though, maybe they have asthma or emphysema or something like this, this could exacerbate or magnify that condition. So the nuisance plus an existing illness could lead to some perhaps more severe discomfort.
The materials inside century-old homes may also pose risks. Chemicals such as arsenic, nickel, or lead, and materials such as fiberglass and asbestos could damage lungs when people breathe them in. The City Health Department plans to study how much asbestos and lead are in the air during demolitions, says Julian Nix, the head of the city's Tornado Recovery Office.
I'll be transparent. The city has never been great at demolition and monitoring. We know there have been complaints for years about that process. So that's also why we're adding standards around air monitoring, especially with the increased number of demolitions.
Nix says there are also practical things residents can do. Of course, stay inside, keep windows closed, and respect construction site barriers. If someone wants to watch, they should wear an N100 or similar respirator mask. People may also want to vacuum more and change their air conditioning filters. Nick says he understands people are excited the demolitions are starting, but says residents should also be mindful about their health. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rob Edwards edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks so much for listening to The Gateway. We'll be back in your feed on Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend.